Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to do a couple of things that I normally don't do when it comes to sermons. One is I'm going to read my sermon. I don't normally do that. But this is a more teacherly sermon than preacherly sermon. So there's a lot in this text that we read for our gospel reading. And I want to focus particularly on the story of Anna. She gets just a couple of verses, 36 through 38 is the story of Anna. But I think there's more than meets the eye there. So I want to spend some time talking about Anna. So to tell the story of Anna is to tell the story of the elderly evangelist. At 84, she visited the temple daily, fasted, worshipped, and prayed. She remained a widow since the death of her husband, never remarrying. We don't know how long that was, by the way. It says from the time she was a virgin to 7 years, and then so she could have been as young as 23, maybe, and then till 84, she was there. So she was in the temple at the very hour that Mary and Joseph presented Jesus, and she began pointing everyone toward Jesus, all who are waiting for the Messiah. The little one, he's the anointed one. That's what Simeon sang. So to tell the story of Anna is to tell of the worshiping widow, the pious prophetess, the elderly evangelist. Luke makes sure to tell us that she's the daughter of Phanuel. Now, if there's a name mentioned, generally we want to pay attention to that name. So Phanuel, even though he doesn't have a great presence in Scripture, his name, Phanuel, sort of like Emmanuel, so his name possibly could mean in the presence of God, or maybe face-to-face with God. So Phanuel, as a priest, would have meant that he was in the presence of God or turned toward God. So that's Phanuel. That's who Anna had as her father, one who is turned toward God. She's of the tribe of Asher. That's an important thing. Asher was the son of Leah's servant, Zilpah. And Asher is translated as happy I am. How many of you knew that one? Genesis says that Leah chose the name because women had called her happy. And finally, Anna, or in Hebrew, Hannah, means grace. So she is one who is graced to turn towards God in happiness. Yeah, seems to make sense. And on that day, she was indeed filled with grace and happiness in the presence of God. And then it overflowed from her to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, or if you read some translations, the redemption of Israel. She became an evangelist. We don't know much of Anna's history except that she was a widow for a long time. Her basic needs were met by someone, by family perhaps. She was able to spend her days in worship and prayer, and Luke also says she was fasting. Now, again, this might not mean much, but according to Genesis 49, the tribe of Asher was said to supply rich food and royal delicacies, and here was Anna of the tribe of Asher fasting. Interesting. It may just be wordplay, but she wasn't dining sumptuously on couches. She was fasting, praying, and worshiping. Now, widows have long been on the heart of God and his people. Specific instructions have been given over the centuries for the care of those who have lost their husbands. And although all through the Torah, the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow were always given special attention and care. In Psalm 68:5, David says that the father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. Elijah and Elisha both served widows when called to do so by God. In the New Testament, we have Anna, who we're talking about. We have the widow of Nain, or Nain, whom Jesus served by raising her son from the dead. And we also have the widow who gives the mite offering. And here at Grace, I don't know how many of you know, but we have a widows group who have been meeting together for, well, it's got to be a couple of years, almost 2 years. Maybe even a little longer than that. They have a name. They're called Onward But Not Alone. And I was going to have them all stand and be recognized, but we're not going to do that. But it's a wonderful group, and they are amazing in how they serve one another and how they support one another and how they serve here at church. They're truly a blessing. So fellowship time today is presented by the Onward But Not Alone group. So if you are curious about that, I will point out that there have been a couple of sort of spearheads to that group, and Janet Borchard is one, and Donna Geisler is another. So if you're curious about that, you can talk with them, and they'll point you in the right direction. But the widow's group in a church, the widow's group in God's family is so important, and so much care for one another. Anna, the widow in Jerusalem, was given a special gift. She was able to see and share the salvation of not just Jerusalem, but all of Israel. And not just all of Israel, but all of creation. We're not shown by Luke what her evangelistic efforts led to. But we could imagine that the seeds planted by her words that later would lead some to go out of the city to meet Jesus as he comes in on his donkey on that Palm Sunday, perhaps. It is interesting that these early encounters with Jesus lead to evangelism. If you think about it, the shepherds, when they saw the angel and then they went and saw Jesus, they returned giving praise to God and telling all about what they had seen. The Magi returned, and we could assume on that long journey that they at least talked about who they had visited as the King of the Jews. Simeon and Anna both become witnesses to the salvation of Israel in the Christ child. So what is it about this experience of Jesus that leads people to talk to others about him? For Anna, as someone close to the heart of God, she had been given the opportunity to see God's plan coming to fruition. Maybe this means to her, this means that her status as a widow had kind of changed somewhat. God had sent the bridegroom, the one who would fulfill the promises that not even death could separate them. Anna had been a widow a long time. She could have gotten married again. The Torah provides for that, but she didn't. She accepted her station and dedicated her life to worship. As her name says, she was happy and graced to be in the presence of God. God had provided her with the one who would be the eternal bridegroom. And in a very real way, we're all in need of that bridegroom. As a church, the bride of Christ, that's who we are, we would be lost if not for the divine bridegroom. If Jesus had not come as the one who would be the bridegroom, we would have nothing to do. Jesus, he's our provider, our protector, the one who loves us even more than we can imagine. He is the one who is the husband to all those who are baptized in his name. And as the husband, he lays down his life, sacrificing himself for his bride, the church, for you and me. Even in this time, the church might feel sometimes like a widow. Our bridegroom ascended into heaven with a promise to return, and yet he hesitates. And for the widows of this day, they know that their husbands love them even though they're not present. And we have the promise of the glorious reunion and everlasting life. But Jesus is present in even more ways, more real ways, than the memory of those we love. He is present in each of us by his Spirit. He is present in the church as we gather as his body, and he's present at the table in his own body and blood. And as the group has titled itself, Onward Not Alone, you also are not alone. Jesus is with you today and always. Amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.